Sarah Gross, you're number one. Other day, I swear, Sarah, I thought I was coaching you. Somebody had raised their hand. I thought I saw Sarah Gross. And then it was a different Sarah. And I was like, oh, that's not Sarah Gross.
Hi.
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. How are you?
Doing good. What are we coaching on, sweet girl?
Well, I'm doing good and everything, so that's good. But just am not getting – so I want to spend the next step of my career. And so I decided to make that my number one goal for 3 months and put weight loss, like, on hold. Go into maintenance for 3 months to really focus on figuring out what I want in my career and getting that done or starting that. So, you know, I read books and I have this amazing vision board, and I like started on my resume and kind of made the decisions, and then I just stopped. I, you know, wrote out like I'm gonna little steps and put in the calendar, and then I just didn't get it done. So here we are at the almost end of the 3 months, and even though I've done a lot of the back end kind of work, I haven't started like the part where I take the next step.
What's the next step?
I got to start applying for jobs that fit the thing that I'm looking for.
And why haven't you just like, why not just like, all right, I obviously don't want to do this, but let's do it.
So I keep trying to, and then I'm like, oh no, I got to clean the house. Like making time, I make excuses to
not do it. Why do you think you're making the, like, why, what do you think's going on there?
I guess there's a little bit of fear. Like, it's kind of scary to put yourself out there.
No, it's not. Let me tell you why. Okay. You're messing up your model. Send out resume does not equal fear. What is our thoughts about it? Like this is where I want you to, I want to push you on. You said putting yourself out there, you know, it's scary. Like that's a fact. Like I think that's in your C line.
Yeah.
This is why I'm saying it's not scary. It may be scary for you because you're thinking about something. You're making putting yourself out there mean something about you. But the act is not scary. So what are you making it mean if you put yourself out there? Why is it scary to say, here is Sarah going after something new? You want it?
Yeah.
That's basically what a resume is, right? You want me? Yeah.
It's definitely like my thoughts about, you know, not being qualified and not doing like not getting my goals done in my current role. But I mean, I've been working on that a lot. I'm kicking ass at work right now.
Yeah.
So it's just my normal thoughts that always happen getting in the way, I think.
So what do you want to do about normal thoughts? Like, here's the thing I want to show you. We have been coaching a long time. So this is for all of you who don't know, I've coached this child several, and I call her child because she's my youngies. She's in my young posse. But it is your normal stuff. At some point, we've got to decide it's not worth getting upset about anymore.
Yeah.
You're probably like, Sarah, I'm just going to like, look, just tell me what you think about this. You're always going to think you're not good enough first before you prove yourself wrong.
That's, I feel like that's very true.
Yeah. So is that going to be a problem, or is that just going to be the way it is and that's not a problem?
No, I think that's just going to be the way it is. It's not a problem. Right?
Unless we're cleaning.
Yeah.
Because what I want you to do is I want you to look back at the last 3 months and not beat yourself up over it. Like, I think you're kind of on the cusp of it. I can tell this is emotional for you. And I think that, are you beating yourself up?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What if there's no reason to beat yourself up? What if you just learned, oh, like, tell everybody how much weight you've lost.
Like 100 pounds.
Yeah.
Give or take.
Let me ask you, when you like first started all that, did you think you weren't good enough? Did you find yourself procrastinating sometimes?
Oh, yeah.
Until you figured out how to prove yourself wrong? You probably still doubt sometimes. But somehow you're keeping your weight off while going after out something else. Did you gain any weight?
I've gained a little bit. I'm like 2 or 3 pounds on the top of my maintenance range, but I'm also running, so that's new. That's probably a lot of what it is. I'm not freaking out about that anymore.
Okay, so you've learned how to settle your brain around stuff that used to freak you out. What is the worst, like literally the worst that's going to happen if you just are like, I don't think I'm good enough. That's something I always think. Oh, wait, here I am trying to beat myself up for the last 3 months. That's also just a habit that gets to stop whenever I just decide to stop. Like, I love the idea for you of like saying, I am going to just be that person who probably beats herself up for the rest of her life, but I'm going to become the person who doesn't give a shit anymore about it. And then one day you probably do stop beating yourself up if you quit giving a shit about it.
Yeah.
You quit proving it true. But like, let's just look back on the last 3 months. If you were going to describe it to me as, like, here's what I learned about me in the last 3 months. What did you learn?
I definitely know how to set myself up for success. I can research, I can make goals, I know how to make a good plan. I would say, like, it takes me a while to warm up to something. I like to think about things for a while and then do them. And I learned that, obviously, I don't think I'm good enough, and I beat myself up about things for a while. And then I get to a point where I get tired of it, and I hop on a coaching call and keep going.
Right. What if this is just, like, just part of your process to success? I mean, you're pretty successful. I mean, if you weren't super like in the deuter about this 3 month thing, I mean, not only have you lost 100 pounds, which there's so few of us in the world that will lose 10 pounds and keep it off, much less a fucking century of pounds. And keep
it off. I've been so successful this year. I've been thinking about this. I quit smoking, hit Century Club. I'm kicking ass at work right now. I'm working on my relationship with my family. Mm-hmm. Like, we're good. We bought a truck this year. I went on vacation. I did so much this year. Mm-hmm. And I just keep beating myself about this.
Yeah, it's like, so what? I set this one goal to send out some resumes, and I learned that when it's time to put myself out there, I'm scared. That's what I learned. Okay. Now it's time to work through being scared. I'm putting myself out there. That's like the version that, like, it's not so much about getting a job and stuff. Like, I want you to really just think kind of like Sarah's life picture. This is where you get to figure out for the rest of your life that, like, you can go through scary things on purpose just to see what you're made of. Not to see if somebody else approves of you this time. To see if you approve of you enough to put yourself out there. And to work your mind around possible rejection. And to really own when you get a job that you created all of it yourself. It wasn't because somebody saw something in you, but it was because you decided for you, this is what you wanted. Like, I think this is your next level. Breaking through.
I'm so ready.
I know you are. You have worked so hard. All of you should, like, know her. I think I cried on your last fucking coaching call. You're going to have to quit coming.
Okay. Well, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, like, another thing. What's the next level for me? And it's 100% taking responsibility for everything. It's me. It's me. Like, yeah. I have to stop blaming people. That's, like, that's my next thing. That's my big thing next year is just, I'm ready to take the responsibility for everything. I have to be. That's the next level. So that's what I'm working on.
All right. Well, here's what I want you to do. And yeah, everybody notices your Wonder Woman in the background. I also noticed it, by the way.
That's from my grandpa. He's awesome. He sends me Wonder Woman stuff all the time.
Oh, I love it. I want you to set a date of, I will send out a resume by this date. Just do it. Like, just be like, this is when I'm going to do it. I'm just doing it to do it. I gotta show my brain that at some point we just do it, even if we don't think it's perfect, if we think we're not going to get it, if we think the toilet's dirty, whatever comes up, we're going to show our brain that it's like, you know, if I really want this, I just have to kind of like send out a resume and just get that groove going. Like, that's your action line, but that's the action line from a thought that you had of which, I know I'm ready for my next level. I want you to think more about that than to beat yourself up on, like, oh, I said I was going to do this quarter and I didn't, and I think I'm just afraid and stuff like that. It's like, you're so smart. You know you're afraid. We don't have to dig around in there. It's just your old bullshit programming coming up because this is a new thing. I have the same stuff. It's like every time I set a new goal, my sad ass shit that comes up and literally I was writing this morning about, I don't even remember what I was writing about, but I was writing something and I was saying, I was thinking about, I'm reading a book called The Last Word on Power. You may actually like it. It's very heady. I'll give you this. It's a slow read, but it makes you think about like how you're acting in the world and why. And one of the things that she like encouraged you to do is figure out like why you do the things you do. And like, why did you get out of relationships and quit jobs and do things in the past? And it always comes back for me that I never felt good enough. And I'm always trying to prove myself. And I was looking back at my childhood and how I had bullies and my dad didn't want me. And just like, you know, instance, I was so overweight. Men didn't want me, you know, except for the wrong reasons. And I've spent my life trying to figure out how to prove my worth. And so like, it's just good information to know that if you're like, you know, how you come at the world and through what lens and through what filters so that you can watch yourself not do that. Like in some aspects, it works for you. Like I, you know, obviously was able to lose 100 pounds to prove to myself that I could do it and stuff, that I was worthy. But it's also, there's times where I see it goes to my detriment where I'm trying to prove myself to my parents or to someone for the wrong reason.
This came up recently for me in like a different situation, like the story that I have about my stepdaughter and her mom and all this stuff. It doesn't work. The same thing doesn't work that worked for weight loss there. Like, so yeah, that's a good, I'll pick that book up.
Yeah. She's not on Audible, but, I've been really enjoying it. So okay. I think you will like it. I wouldn't recommend it to everyone. It's one of those books where you have to really sit and think a lot on it. She doesn't talk to me super simple, but the concepts are solid. So, all right. I want you to get that resume out. Like, well, give yourself like no more than 15 days. Don't sit around in misery.
Oh, it's so close to being done. I got feedback. I have like, I just have to do the next round and it should be good to go.
Okay. We'll get it out there. And then just see what you can do. Like, I want you to set a goal. Like, the goal is not a job. Like, I want you to think bigger. Like, I get a job, but not until I prove to myself that I can take rejection like a boss. Like, I think that's like, if you can take rejection from a boss, like a boss, then you will be able to take your own rejection and start flipping it faster. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck. You're welcome.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Bye. I'm so proud of how many of you are here today, guys. Seriously, it is the Sunday before freaking Christmas, and we have over 200 people on this call right now. That is amazing. Judith. Hey, Judith.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
Hello. Oh my gosh. Are you? I know you. You're January self-coaching scholars.
Yes.
I'm Miss February. Yes. And well, we've met in person and stuff, but I literally was doing my, like, I get ahead because I know I'll miss a few days. So I went ahead and started my work this morning. I was looking at your picture on the back. I was like, such a classy picture. That's awesome. Anyway, yeah, now I'm all starstruck. Now y'all know what it's like when I see somebody that's famous to me.
Well, it's funny because last time I talked to you, I fangirled and I realized I was being like weird and like shrinking when I was talking to you, and you were kind of like mirroring my body language. So we were both like at a weird angle at one point, and I'm just like, why am I doing this? So then I like uncurled and I'm like, just talk to her like a normal human. So I feel you. I feel you.
There you go. What are we coaching on?
So, I mean, it's just Sarah's coaching call. Like, I feel her 100%. Like, I've had an amazing, now I'm going to get emotional. Like, I had a great year. Like, I had so many people pour in so much love to me. And like, I took that and I ran with it. And like, I signed up for all the things. I showed up at all the things. It was amazing. And now I'm kind of like, I'm trying to set goals for next year, but I want to be kinder to myself and how I set my goals. Because I realize, like, I'm driving myself totally crazy. And it's just, like, I've taken on, like, an up-leveled form of people-pleasing that's not working.
So what do you want to do next year? It's so interesting that this is happening. And maybe it's just this time of year, but I was literally coaching someone the other day on this topic. And then I got coached on this topic this week. Same theme of, you know, some of us are just really good at achieving. We're so good at it. But the problem is that we're good at achieving the goal, but the way we get there is not really all that great. The result is I get this at my own expense versus I get this because I'm so, like, I so took care of myself. And so I was actually... My word for the year for 2020 is chill.
I've been playing with like calm the fuck down.
Yes. My literal goal is when I'm working, I have to do it from a chill space. When I am faced with a problem, I have to drop into how would a chill person handle this right now? When I'm scheduling myself, is this what a chill person would do? When I'm even have, like, I, like, even when I have self-care, like, what a chill person would do. The other person I was coaching, she was setting some goals and she was like, well, I really want to do everything that I did last year. But it, you know, last year I didn't lose any weight and I, you know, like, there's distance between me and my husband. There's like these things. And I was like, well, what if we just this year decide to do the same thing, but we add to the goal that we also don't get to eat through it and that we have date nights and we add in the things that matter this year. And then you get to evolve into the kind of person who gets there, not at your own expense, but adds to your own personal bottom line.
Okay. I don't think I've ever set goals that way, ever.
Most of us who are achievers never do. We put so much stock into what we're going to achieve. Like, that's what's going to make us so happy. Like, we really convince ourselves that if we do these things, oh, we'll become such a better person. Well, it's like, no, if you're not, if part of the target isn't you becoming the better person, like, how you get there is more important than where you end up, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, I think I'm really, because I normally, by now, I would have had like the first quarter goals set. They would have been broken down into tiny steps. And I've been so exhausted. I haven't done that. And like, I've self-coached around like, okay, why aren't you doing it? And I just, part of me realized somewhere along the way, I don't want to do it the way I've always done it. Like, yes, I can create an epic list. I can schedule the shit out of that. Like, I've got that down, but I don't know what it would look like to do it with compassion. Like that I'm struggling with. Like,
so what would that look like? That's where your brain is good at coming up with goals and how to get there.
Yeah.
This is the part where you evolve on how do I get there? You know, it's just like what I teach in weight loss. It's like, a lot of us can lose weight. We can do a keto. We can do like, you know, a liquid diet. A lot of us have immense willpower to get to the goal, but we don't love the process. We don't learn how to become someone who doesn't stress eat. We don't learn the things we need to learn on the way there. So I think for you, like, maybe sit and just, do you have some time in the next week where you can kind of, there's nothing that says they all have to be done on January 1st, first of all, for all of our achievers in the group. We're like, oh my God, January 1's right around the corner. But it's like, sit and just think about, like, who do I want to be next year? Not what do I want to achieve next year?
Ooh, okay. Yeah. Wow.
It's such a different question.
It's totally a different question because like it's so funny because like on my podcast, like what I tell my girls my name is on my podcast is I'm Miss J. So like sort of Miss J has her own personality, like her own persona. And like, it's almost like I want to be like Miss J. She sounds fabulous. Like, obviously I am her, but
yes.
I want to be more of her, more of who I already am. And I've never set goals with that sort of framework. It's always, you know, monetary or whatever the next level at work is. But I mean, I've hit the upper level at work this year. I mean, they made me partner last week without me asking. Like, they were just like, do you want to become partner? I'm like, that's a thing. Like, you just tell, okay, sure. Like, like things are up leveling sort of naturally because I've done so much of the other work. So things are just sort of happening. So it's like a capacity to have problem as well as like just allowing myself to be myself throughout the process issues.
It's so like for you, this next year is going to be like, if these are the things I want to achieve, but who do I want to be to get there? I know the version I don't want to be. Like, that was who I was this year. I mean, you can go back through this year and you can kind of look at a few of the things that, like, this served me well, but this didn't. And so how can I do at least this or more next year, but it has to meet this criteria? You know, it's just like for a lot of you girls, it's like for those of you who want to, like, go back and, you know, like, if you want to, I don't know, find a man or you want to just do other things other than weight loss. It's kind of like Sarah is like, I want to put myself out there and go for, you know, a big job or something. It's like, all right, so who are you going to have to be that person who gets that job? Like, Sarah has to learn how to be someone who takes rejection from others and doesn't reject herself through the process. And it's like for you, it's like whatever you did this year to achieve, it's like, how do I do that? While also, if it's caring for myself, if it's not overeating, like, I don't know if you're overeating, but like most of our girls, it's like they can like do so much shit at work, but they can't solve their overeating because they haven't learned how to be that version of them without the food yet. That's where we have to learn how to like level ourselves up. So if you're beating yourself up or you're people pleasing, what is it going to look like for you to not do those things this year? So it's like, okay, so if I'm not going to people please, that means I'm going to be doing this. So what are the things I'm going to have to learn how to think and feel in those moments to have my back? Because that's, it's going to require not people pleasing this year.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny because like my people pleasing is a lot of like, I feel like beholden to people who have taken time with me and been kind to me or given me words of encouragement. So like, it's like, I have to sort of prove that it was like worth their time and investment in me. So like, I have to like make sure I'm worthy of that. So like that I have to work on. Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to be separating out like just deciding that they spent time with you because it made them feel good and you don't owe them anything at this point.
Yeah.
The only thing you owe is to show them that you're living your best life. Yeah. That's so hard for people pleasers.
Oh,
let me tell you the disconnect is because people pleasers, you guys are doing things in hopes that someone else will feel a certain way so you can feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And so you assume the rest of the world does the same thing. We all make assumptions on the rest of the world based upon how we're thinking about things. And it's like, what if, like, I will tell you, I like do all kinds of shit for people in the tribe. Like I do. Seriously, like y'all have my heart. I randomly do all kinds of acts of kindness and I never expect anything. I do it because it makes me feel good. I never do it thinking they're going to give me a thank you or, you know, they're going to be beholden to me or I better see them using it wisely. Like I just don't ever think that. That's not, and I'm not a people pleaser. It's just not in my DNA.
Yeah. And like, I never do that with like the people that I coach. Like I would never, I don't have any expectations. Like if I make something for them, like I'm just tickled pink that I got to do it. And like, it's just like, to me, that's such so exciting. And like, I just like to love on them. So I'm just not that way with myself. So I have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was an interesting exercise that I heard this morning. I was running and listening to all kinds of self-development. And one of them was, and I made notes to put on our calendar for next year to do a people-pleasing course because I think it's so important. But one of the things that I had in there that if y'all want to like take this and run with it is go back through your calendar for the last like 3 months or month. I mean, just whenever. Just look at your calendar and where you spent your time and list everything out. Like every single thing that you can find that you did in the last like, even if it's the last 30 days, and then categorize those things once you've like culminated the list as to it was a hell yes. I'm so glad I did that. Like, ugh, I really don't want to do any more of that. Like that's a hell no. And the things that you're like, oh my God, it would be really hard to say no because I would be worried about what they think.
Okay.
And then you look at your list. Most people are not putting a lot of things on their list that's like it's a hell yes, we need more of this. And then you start examining
times this year. Yeah. It's so interesting because there are a few times this year that definitely there are things that are hell yeses, like, oh hell yeah, all day, let's do it. But there are some things that come to mind as soon as you say that, I'm like, oh, not today, Satan. That's not happening again. So
yeah. If we really look at that stuff and then it gives you like for all of you guys, you know, that gives you an opportunity to kind of go through your list and look at the stuff that would be like, oh, that would be hard for me to say no to. Why? If it's not a hell yes, I should be doing it. Why are we doing it only because it's hard to say no? That's where upper level work comes in. That's where you start doing really masterful self-work on yourself. Like, what is it going to take for me to start saying no in these situations? Disappointing people, like allowing myself to to be in the land of like, oh my God, I opened myself up for judgment by saying no. Oh my gosh, I might miss out on an amazing opportunity. So many of us are going to freaking parties for fear of what people will think if we're not at the party. And we don't want to be at the party. It was not a hell yes. And it's like, oh, I'm still working on FOMO. I mean, like, it just, it's such a really good, I was sitting there thinking, I'm going to do this myself. It's such a really good way of allowing yourself to truly think about how you spend your time, because your time is just so invaluable. And the other piece was like, you know, what if you only had like, what if the next 3 months or the last 3 months you have, would you want to spend them like you spent the last three? Like every minute of it. It's like, if it's not, this is where we get to just ask ourselves, oh my gosh, if I wouldn't want to spend that time there, it doesn't mean that you can say no to everything, but it for sure gives you pause to start questioning why you're even saying yes to begin with. So many of us aren't even questioning our yeses at this point. We need to do a little bit more of that.
Yeah. Oh, okay, cool. I can see where my work lies.
Yeah. I want, like, if you don't do anything, I just want you to think about who you want to be. Like, before you make a big list of achievements, you already know that you can achieve. You've already proven that true. Now we have to prove true that you can be the person you want to be while also achieving. That's the next level for you.
Yeah. Oh, so good. Okay. Okay.
All right. Thank you. You looked gorgeous. I just want all of you to know, you are a curvy stylist coach, right? Is that how I read it on there? And she, like, pinup is her thing. Like, she helps people. I just thought, oh my God, this is amazing. She helps people identify their style and their fashion. Like, right? I want to make sure I have all this right. All right. What is your website so we can all look this up?
it's my name. It's judithgaton.com.
All right.
JudithGaton.com. And like literally, I help women realize that they can dress their body and love it just right now where it is. They don't have to wait till they're a certain size or weight or hold their body hostage, and they can look fly as fuck right now.
So. Yes. I love it. All right. Kathy, put that in the show notes. Awesome. It was so good talking to you. All right.
All right. Bye. You too. Merry Christmas. Thank Merry you. Christmas.
You're welcome. Oh, shit. I don't know what a spotlight video is, but let me cancel that. I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, I'm like hitting the new buttons. Let's see. I know we all need to be subscribing to her podcast. Let's see. Fat Lisa with a PH, I might add. Just so y'all don't think I'm just like throwing like wild shade. Let's see. Well, I think she's coming now. Are we coming?
Hey.
All right.
How are you?
Good. Are we coaching? Oh, you were in bed. That's where I'd like to be.
I'm not really in bed. I'm just on the bed.
I go to bed so early these days. My son made fun of me because last night I was like, man, like 7 o'clock, I'd love to be in bed. He's like, mama.
I understand that. I go to bed pretty early too because I have multiple sclerosis.
Okay.
So anyway, that was my compelling reason for joining the tribe and for weight loss is because, you know, there's times when my husband has to help me with mobility and, you like right now I'm fully mobile, but we just never know. And I love him and I don't think it's fair to him if I just sit around eating ice cream and cookies and get, you know, really heavy and then he's going to have to be moving me. So anyway, that's one of my compelling reasons.
What if the compelling reason is I'm going to quit eating ice cream and all this other stuff because it's unfair to me?
Well, I've gotten there, but that was okay.
Really I was going to say, like, let's make sure that's clean.
Yes. Yep. I have, you know, my thoughts and things are different since I joined the tribe. But another reason that I wanted to join is to, stress directly affects my health, and it will come out in the form of all kinds of crazy things with MS. The most recent one day I just lost the use of my left arm, and
my aunt has MS.
Yeah. So you know how it's.
Yeah, she's unfortunately in a wheelchair, and she never really cared for it, and it's, you know. She also, they just didn't pay, she got diagnosed real late and they didn't pay attention and all the things. So I know how it can be. It can be. So how is the stress management going?
Well, it's up and down. And that's one of the things I really want to work on is managing my stress so it doesn't get to the point that it manifests into MS symptoms. So, I've been trying to make a model around it. We've had some family drama for like the last, I don't know, since September. And, you know, we keep working on it, and I keep hearing you in my head say, just love them, just show up loving. And so that's what I try to do, but it's not really getting better. It's kind of fake better. I feel like.
Well, let's figure out what's going on. Do you want to just get coached on it?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me the story. The short version. Tell me what you think I need.
The short version is my son and daughter-in-law live in Long Beach, and we live in Northern California. So we're 8 to 9 hours drive away from each other.
Okay. Son and daughter-in-law.
And they have two grandsons.
Okay.
And we have been super close with them, with their family, with everything. And in October, my son kept saying, are you guys coming for Halloween? Are you coming for Halloween? So we finally said, okay, we're coming for Halloween. We booked the flights. We get a call back saying, cancel the flight. Someone else is coming. You can't come. So, that, like, I was just confused and my feelings were hurt because we've been to their house before when
why did they give you a reason why you can't come while the other people are coming?
No, it was just cancel your flights. And so
that was literally the conversation.
That was the conversation. Was it? And then there was another conversation where everything blew up.
Okay. But let's go back to the original conversation. So okay. It was a text. Or was it on the phone or an email?
On the phone.
So on the phone, he calls or you call?
He called my husband.
So he called your husband and he said, don't come, cancel flights. Boom.
Yes. Yep. Somebody else is coming.
And hung up the phone.
I think it was a very short conversation because my husband was so like, what?
Okay.
That he, you know, he didn't get into it at that point.
Okay. So your husband decided not to ask any more questions.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I initiated a conversation. I text them and I said, look, you know, I'm kind of confused. My feelings are hurt. What's going on?
Why were your feelings hurt? Because you didn't even like, this is what I find interesting when we're talking about stress, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing to be stressed out about right now. All they said was, don't come. And you're like, my feelings are hurt.
Because I've never not been welcome in their home. So it felt.
But I want you to, right. But you have decided that when they said cancel the flights, we are unwelcome in your home. I just want to point out, like, when we're talking about how do we lower our stress levels? How do we not let things get out of control? And how do we not, like, do those things?
Right.
The first thing is to really understand when our mind is, like, trying to justify we should be hurt. I'm all about you being confused. That's why I kept asking, like, well, did he say anything else? Like, was there anything? And if it's a no, like if you're like, nope, it was a short conversation. My husband didn't ask any more questions, blah, blah, blah. I think it's fine to be like, I'm so confused. We had these plans. We were coming. Y'all asked us to come. Could you just let me know? That is one thing. But when we are asking questions from a place of, My feelings are hurt. You did this. That's the drama right. that we add in. It's like, okay, yes. let's, like, I just want to point that out. I'm going to let you keep telling the story so we can get more into what's happening, because I'm sure that you're going to just tell me all the reasons why you were justified in thinking all the evil things, but, or hurtful things. But I want you to see that before that text happened, mm-hmm. there was no reason to be hurt yet.
Okay.
If you wanted to be hurt, I would wait until something actual and factual happened where you can be like, and that right there is why I'm hurt.
Okay.
All right. So now we've texted and we're into, we got to know, bro, what's going on? Mama, daddy's all confused right. over here.
Well, and so it ended up with, my husband and my son having a huge argument about like everything that's bothered everybody for 10 years or whatever. I don't know. My family does try to shelter me from some things. So that conversation happened away from me.
What was told to you about it? So you like when you texted your son, what did he say?
Right. Well, they called back okay. and it was kind of brutal. My daughter-in-law has a way of becoming very clinical and authoritative, and that's like her okay. her guard she puts up.
When you watch the call, I want you to take note of your description is very stressful.
Okay.
It was a brutal call. She has this way. She's very authoritative and clinical. If you don't want to be stressed out all the time, I would probably not have working definitions of people like that. That's your decision of how you okay. want to think about her. She could just be the daughter-in-law, or she could be the authoritative. Okay. You didn't say it, but I think we're all thinking bitch.
Okay, I didn't say it.
No, you didn't say but yeah, it, but sometimes. I'm just like, summary version is this daughter-in-law, you know.
Right.
She, all right, yeah. So tell me what, on the phone call, what happened?
She just got on the phone and was saying, I don't know why you don't understand. I don't know. I remember what she said. And I just said, well, if someone else was coming, because we have even gone down there and we'll get a hotel so we can spend time with their grandkids and, you know, and sometimes other people are at their house. It's all fine. It's always been fine in the past. And,
but why is it not fine this time for them? I mean, this is their home, their holiday.
Right.
In their mind, I want set aside your hurt feelings. What's going on for them? I haven't found a thought, like a circumstance yet. What has your daughter-in-law said? You started with, I don't know why you don't understand. She said that.
Right. And I still don't really know why, because the question that formed in my mind was, let's work this out. Let's figure out if we can stay somewhere else and we can still come. I mean, because they had invited us multiple times and I just kept saying, well, we have to wait on dad because his work schedule and make sure that this works for him. So to be invited all those times and then all of a sudden we are saying, yep, we can do it. And then, then they just called and said, nope. Can't come. Someone else is coming.
Okay. They made other plans.
Right.
What if we just decided they made other plans? While we were trying to decide, they made other plans.
Okay. And I think that would be okay if if they called and told us that, hey, you guys figure out if you're coming for Halloween, so we've made other plans. But they didn't. I mean, it was still like, oh, you're invited. And now we can come, but no, now you can't come.
I don't know what their reason was. It may be like, I hate them. I'm just trying to offer you something to think other than this is a travesty and an injustice.
I don't think it was that they hate us. I don't think that's it at all.
Maybe they just don't want you there.
What?
Maybe for this holiday, they just don't want you there.
Okay, well then that was a complete change in what we were being told overnight.
It could be. Maybe Oprah decided to come and go trick-or-treating with the children and they don't want extra people there. Who knows? Do you know who they ended up making extra plans with now that Halloween has happened?
Yes. And we talked about it. It's her sister and her sister's partner, who we are really close with, who we've done lots of things. We've all traveled together. We've, you know, always gotten along really well. We really care about them. And
well, I think that's amazing. I mean, I think that's great. But for some reason, they just like, I think what I'm trying to show you is that you have the opportunity, if it's trying to not be stressed about stuff, here's your opportunity when you watch the call.
Okay.
They invited us for Halloween. We said, we can't commit. They keep saying, y'all are welcome to come. And you keep saying, we can't commit yet. We're waiting on dad's schedule. Then you guys decide you can go. And by the time you decide you can go, they made other plans and now they just don't want you there.
Yes.
And that's what happened.
That's what happened.
And everything else though is she has an authoritative clinical way of doing things. It was like out of nowhere they wanted to do this. They hurt my feelings because we're not welcome in their home now. But we're the good guys. We get along with everyone. I don't understand why they would not want us there. You don't need to understand why they don't want you there. They just didn't this time. I'm just curious what the relationship would be like if they could just say, we made other plans, don't come. And you guys are like, okay, we'll come next time. When would you like us to come? Can you just tell us why you don't want us to this time? Oh, it's because you've made other plans. I get that. Like, what would it be less stressful? Or is this version way more fun with all the drama and everybody arguing?
No. I'm not big on arguing. I'm not big on all the drama. You're talking about being a people pleaser. I'm usually a people pleaser. I will go out of my way to make sure everybody's comfortable and has what they need. And
you do that because of why? You want everybody to be comfortable and have everything that they need because of why?
Out of love. That's
out not of love. People pleasers.
No.
Listen large. It ain't love. You know how I know it's not love?
How do you know it's not love?
Because you expect them to act a certain way about these grandbabies in this trip and how they tell you whether or not that they want you there or not.
Okay.
It comes from you wanting to feel no conflict.
Okay.
That is what, like, the people pleasing is about, I want to do something for you so that I get to feel something. And most of the time people pleasers are doing it. It's like, well, I just don't want to have conflict and I don't want anybody to be unhappy. And I just want everybody to be happy and stuff. It's like, you know what? Sometimes people don't want to be happy. Like in this case, your daughter-in-law didn't want you there. She didn't want to be happy. You know what she wanted to be happy? With her sister and her partner. But as a people pleaser, oh, that's not good enough. You've hurt my feelings. People who are truly coming from love will do things and never expect anything in return, including a thank you, appreciation, or someone liking what they're doing.
Well, I don't expect that. You know, I just don't.
I don't know.
I really don't. I don't expect that. And that's not why I do things. I do things because it makes me feel better. I like serving people. I was a registered nurse. Caring for people.
I think there are times we're doing it. But when we're people pleasing,
mm-hmm.
There's the difference between giving and serving. Like, I want to really get this nailed for you.
Okay.
There's a difference when you're giving and serving and loving on someone. And then there's times where we are people pleasing.
Okay.
We're like, I just want to avoid the conflict. I'm just going to agree with, like, I don't know, like, give me a time when you've people pleased. That's different from loving, giving, and serving.
I think, if someone's been at my house and they're being kind of rude and not really very kind, but I still try to make everything okay for them and make sure that they're comfortable, make sure that they, you know, have the food they want, whatever. That's just what I do.
And so
you're right about the conflict. I avoid the conflict completely. I do not.
Because I want to ask you, why not just tell the person, you know, you're being kind of rude right now.
Well, that's where I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, well, and that's why I wanted to show you the difference between service and love and kindness, because I think this is like, I think a lot of people pleasers spend like 70% of their life like actually loving people. Like, you guys really do it for love. You don't expect anything in return. You want it. It's the 30% of the time when people don't act the way you think they should after all that loving and serving, where you're just like, something's wrong. You should let me come. I get along with everyone. I'm confused and hurt now. Like, I actually like your sister. This is bad. I just want you to know, you're authoritative shit.
Yes.
That's when it backfires. That's why it's like, it's really important to be onto yourself as to when you're like truly offering from love. Like, we're a yes. We want to see the grandbabies. We're all in. Oh, you don't want us there? I still love you. I don't expect anything in return. I'm confused why you don't want us. We're amazing. Like, don't you know how great of a grandparents we are? We could we could stay in a hotel. We could do all the things that are just like, no, we made other plans. We just don't want you there. Like, okay. I totally respect that. That's how you solve conflict.
Okay.
But what you were doing was not solving conflict. It was creating inner conflict for you.
Right. Well, and the sad part of all of this is it's this whole thing blew up so big that it's drastically changed our relationship. To the point where we don't have a lot of communication, and I try to call and I try to I've sent a couple of texts that for me I thought I was saying something very loving and they thought it was very judgmental, and I'm not sure
what was the
and I ran it by some people.
Hmm? Never listen to rando people. Run it by the PNB people. Okay. Rando people are like, you should be hurt. You should be seeing the grandbabies. They're assholes for not letting you. That's what the randos' opinions are. Their filter stinks. Tell me what it was.
I can't even remember. It was a few months back, but it was just like, you know, I just want you guys to know that I love you and I'm still here for you. Or, you know,
okay.
It was just little things like that. And because I was bothered by not, you know, my son is like the ever ready rabbit. He has a ton of energy. And so he typically calls me every day, sometimes twice a day, or maybe every couple of days, because he like goes for a walk at work or whatever. But lots of communication. That's, we've had, you know, we always have had lots of communication. The communication's like, boom, no, not there. And when I talk to them, it doesn't feel genuine. We don't talk about anything real without the weather and the traffic. And
why don't you talk about some real stuff? What would it take for you to call and just say like, hey, I'm just going to talk about the elephant in the room?
I think you guys might have done that.
What, why not do it 10 more times?
10 more times. I just keep saying, you know, I would.
Tell me why you snickered at 10 more times. What if it literally was going to take you every single conversation you ever have with your son to say, I want us to be like back where we are. Is there anything I can do or say? I just want you to know I love you so much. And whatever happened around this Halloween thing, like I'm over it. I get you guys were upset and.
I can do that easily. I mean, calling my son and talking to him like that. He doesn't really want to talk about it. And there's more to the story than I know. And they won't tell me. And I'm like, okay, if there's something I'm doing that, you know, has got you guys so upset, can you just tell me so I can avoid doing that thing? And we can, I can apologize.
Coming out.
Okay. Yes, it is.
That it really is. Because right there, just tell me what I'm doing that's upsetting you. And I promise I won't do that anymore. Why not just like be you and keep loving them and quit begging for them to do all that and just be like, I'm just going to be me. That's the easiest job I have in the whole world. I'm not going to do all of that because that probably doesn't come across very well on their side.
Okay.
Like they really want like, all right, here's my list of things I don't like about you. This will be an easy conversation. Thank you for presenting me the opportunity to tell you all the reasons why you piss me off. You see how like it sounds so good on your side? Because what if they said, this is perfect. Here's all the ways I need you to start behaving. You and Dad, can y'all get on board with all this? And what if it's ridiculous? And then you're stuck with, like, are you going to do all of it? Like, they're going to say, like, I would love for you guys to never come to the holidays. That would make our, we can just party with the grandbabies without you. That would be so much easier. Just give us, Skype us.
Yes.
Then people pleasing rears its ugly head because this is where you weren't really offering all of that in order to be loving and serving and giving. You were offering all that because it's like, I want to feel better. So I need you to do something to make me feel better rather than I'm going to feel better about this because I want to feel better about this. I'm going to clean my mind up around the way I think about my daughter-in-law. I'm going to clean my mind up around, I keep thinking everything has changed. Rather than thinking, how am I going to change? Or how am I going to, like, how am I going to show up?
Okay.
Putting a lot of onus outside of you. That's why we get stressed. Like, we come all the way back to the MS stuff. This is why we get stressed when we have all these stories about things. If you can do your thought downloads and let it out, like, all the things that you think are happening and stuff, then you go back through and you underline the actual facts and remind yourself, oh my gosh, we booked tickets. They said, don't come. And everything else was, after that was my thinking about it.
Okay.
You can hang on to it.
But it's way, hang on to it.
Yeah, but I will tell you, it's way less stressful when you take ownership of like, well, I don't like that they canceled at the last minute.
Okay.
And that would be a more productive conversation rather than, I'm confused. My feelings are really hurt. All this, they're like, oh, great. Now we've hurt your feelings because we want to do something with my sister. Rather than like, just saying like, hey, we booked tickets. Like, I'm just going to tell you next time, let us know ahead of time. Like, if you want to be like upset about it or whatever, just say like, I think it would be nice if the next time that you guys are inviting us, if you decide to make other plans, tell us, give us a heads up because we think you mean it.
Right.
And that's more honest because that's really what you want. You want them to be honest with you about what's going on. So you have to be honest with them about what's going on in your head. You weren't hurt because of them. You were choosing to not be honest about what you want in the relationship and expecting them to tell you, well, just tell me how to start acting.
You're right. I'm not really good at being direct.
It's not even being direct. You can be direct and be the nicest person. Kathy is very direct with her librarian ways. Nobody would ever mistake me and Kathy to be the same person, but Kathy can like tell somebody really quick in a very kind and compassionate way if that's not okay.
Okay.
And you can do that's you. You are like a loving, compassionate, caring person. Loving, truly compassionate people are always going to tell the truth first. The truth was, it wasn't that you were hurt by what they did. It's because you didn't like what they did.
Okay. So that's what I need to do is figure out what the truth is instead of, it's hard to separate the thoughts, feelings.
If you will write, I will tell everybody the trick is, you write the story as it is. This is why in the back of the planner, we have those big blank thought download pages.
Lots about this, yeah. But I've never gone back and underlined. So that's
well, if you look inside the, on the actual planner pages, on the little blue boxes, it will say underline the facts. Most people skip that part.
Yeah, that's me. I skip that part.
Yeah. Well, the No BS that just launched has an exercise and it drills into your head. I think I talk about it 3 different times in the No BS to go back and underline your facts. Because when you read it with just what you underlined, it should be boring. Like if you called all those randos that you asked for, should I send this text? You wouldn't even have to call them. You would know exactly what text to do if you knew your facts. But if you were to text someone, here's what happened. They invited us for Halloween. We didn't know if we could come. We booked some tickets. They emailed, we have other plans. Don't come. They'd be like, wow, well, that's very dramatic. No. Somebody would reply back like, what do you think about that? And that's how you would know you have it magic because there were no thoughts. Somebody would have to ask you, how are you thinking about that? And you could say, well, let me take a picture of my thought download. But that's how you do it. And then I think for you, when like bringing it all home, I know we're like trying to bring it home here. My internet. Can you hear me okay?
I can. You're a little bit delayed, but it's
okay. My internet connection suddenly went wonky. I think Chris is uploading something for the website. But the thing for you with the stress, when you have something that you think is triggering you, like, ooh, I'm pissed. Ooh, I'm upset. Oh, I'm sad. I'm hurt. Whatever it is, give yourself the gift of doing your thought download first. And then give yourself the second gift of underlining your facts and then read it out loud with just facts And if it sounds really boring and no one would be excited and someone had to say, tell me what you think about that. You know, you have it boiled down to, okay, this is what happened and the rest of it is how I'm thinking. Do I want to keep this thinking or not? Some things you may want to keep, and it's like, okay, if I want to keep it, at least I know I'm in charge of it and no one else is in charge. I don't need them to tell me how to, like, what I need to be doing and not doing anymore. I already know what I need to think and feel in order to feel the way I want.
Okay.
All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
And I am sure that you are a very sweet person. I didn't mean to, I could tell you were like, no, I actually love people. I'm just wanting you to know. You have a little bit of Corinne in you because you suddenly were like, that's not true.
I do. And I'm coming to the 6-day event, so we'll probably get to
Are you really? Better.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. No wonder your name looks so familiar. Have you been posting in the Facebook group a little bit? Yes. Or did you get coached on one of the calls with the 6-day girls?
I did get coached with you one other time. Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. Well, good. We're going to have a raucous time. Bring all your family drama. I'm sure we can talk about it. Just let me know when you walk in the door what the current situation is and we'll go through it.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Okay, everyone. That is, Lisa, let me call on you because I cut you off or you lost connection. I'll go ahead and let you get coached and we'll get out of here because I've got another call starting at 2:00 with another group. Who I'm sure want to tell me about their rando people. I always love it when you guys are like, you know, doing all the things, like getting opinions. I always say, run it through your P&P people first, because at least you guys have the model. You understand the thought work. You understand conceptually to not get in people's pools and stuff. Lisa, I don't know why you keep getting disconnected, sweetheart. I keep promoting you to panelist and it just doesn't. There we go. Finally. But run it through those people first. Let me tell you about the people outside of your life. They don't understand thoughts and feelings at all. And they're going to like gaslight you big time on your stuff. So avoid asking them for help. The only time I ever ask my random people in my life about stuff is when I actually just want to be pissed. And I'm like, I'm not really going to get any help, but I'm at least going to get to bitch out loud about it to somebody who won't try to tell me how to think. All right, Lisa. Oh, where'd you go? There you are. All right.
Hi.
Hi. What are we talking on?
You're in Albuquerque.
You're in Albuquerque.
It's Lisa Marie from Albuquerque.
Are you Jane's friend or you know Jane somehow? Oh, okay. Awesome. I'll have to tell her to watch the call.
Yeah, I will too. I'll let her know. I saw her at church the other day and I ran up and hugged her and I swear I probably broke the other side of her pelvis. I was like, I'm sorry.
So what are we going to coach on?
So I had to do a discovery worksheet last night.
Okay.
And so the pattern that I noticed last night is that I'm really effective with strategies on stress and anxiety and that kind of stuff. I've gotten effective at preventing overeats, mm-hmm. but a pattern that I'm realizing is like if I experience a really intense situation, my strategies go out the window.
Okay.
Completely go out the window.
Okay.
So I don't know. I just discovered this last night, like that pattern. I'm like, okay, I see this now. What is going on?
So what do you call intense?
So for example, a couple of weeks after my son's best friend was murdered.
Oh gosh.
By a kid, a teenager with a gun. He was an innocent bystander, but and I did okay through that, you know, I managed that okay. But a couple weeks after that, I witnessed a really bad car accident where this person just came and ran and hit the back of these cars and pushed them into oncoming traffic. And I mean, it was really bad. And my gut feeling said, this isn't right. So I started recording. So I got out, I started recording. There was an officer, an off-duty cop, and the off-duty cop, I'm recording. The off-duty cop is looking at the driver. And even in my video, I tell the cop, watch him. He's going to run. I just had this weird gut feeling. The cop walks away and to look to check on the other drivers. And so I'm still recording, and I see that it's a young kid, boy, and he's trying to get the door open because the car had kind of accordioned. Uh-huh. And when he gets the door open, I'm recording him, and he's bleeding, and he's like, I can't be here. And I'm like, dude, you're not leaving. You're not leaving. You need to just stay put. Well, and I start yelling at the cop because then he finally gets out and he's looking under the steering wheel, and I'm yelling at the cop. He's looking for something. He's going to run. Cop ignores me. Sure enough, I kind of blocked him so he can't leave. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, he pulls out a gun.
Oh gosh. Okay.
So at that point, I'm just like, okay. You know, and I keep recording, and he stuffs the gun in his pants and runs, and got it all on video. So, and that definitely, I overate. I had an off-plan overeat. And then yesterday, what happened yesterday was I was trying to numb the emotions.
Like, what were the emotions, though? Tell me why, though. It's like, what is it you were thinking?
I was angry. And that's another thing is I've noticed with my patterns is when I'm angry, like specifically when I'm angry, I was so mad that cop had the opportunity to detain this kid and keep this teenager with a gun off the street, and he didn't do it. And, you know, they caught him a week later, and they used my video as evidence, and they got the gun off the street. But I was so mad.
All right. Well, tell me about though when you were eating. When was the eat? I know this sounds crazy, but I want you to kind of zero in.
I have it.
Yeah.
I ate because of how upset I was.
Because what?
Of how upset I was.
Okay. But were you angry? Were you upset? Or is it just a mix of emotions?
My feelings were anger.
Okay. All right.
And yesterday something else happened. Not as intense, but something that got me super angry.
Okay.
And yesterday, and I knew I was going to be going out today.
Okay. This is really going to help this overeating stuff. I've listened to you say it 3 times. Things happen, and I experience intense emotions. Is that how it works?
Yes.
No. Things happen. Right? We're going to put things on the sea line. We're going to put intense emotion here. Where does Lisa fall into this? Where's her responsibility? Because I'm going to tell you, if we don't start taking responsibility for our thoughts about these things, this A line will always be overeating. Because if things can make us upset, then that means things can make us eat too. And then you are stuck having to control the world to not make you upset so that you don't have to overeat anymore.
And I wrote on here, literally, I wrote here, circumstances do not dictate my success.
They also don't dictate your anger. Now, let me just say, if you want to be upset, I think you get to be upset. I'm just going to tell you right now, I was robbed at knife point one time. I was very scared. I was very upset, all the things. But I wasn't scared and upset because I was robbed at knife point. I was scared and upset because I thought I was going to die. My thoughts were, he's going to kill me. And I was scared for a long time after that because I kept thinking it shouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. It could happen again. It was not the knife robbery that did all of it. And that's really powerful to know, because if you know, because the knife robbery can never go away. The gun in your face can never go away. The events that you've experienced can never go away. They're just there inviting our thoughts about it to explain it to ourselves. And if your thoughts are out of control about it, like, you know, whatever your thoughts are going on here that keep re-energizing this intense feeling line, it keeps energizing the action line to eat too. Because if the event is causing the intense emotion, the event's not going away. So the intense emotion is never going to go away.
So I treat it like I do on what I would consider a not as intense event.
You have to, like,
in terms of strategy.
Yeah, like, you need to think about this in a way of, like, what do you want? Like, think about your entire story that you're telling about this event, right? So let's go back to the car accident, like, all the things. Like, that cop, he should have been paying attention. That is a thought that gaslights you. That's not true. You know how we know it's not true?
Because it starts with should.
Yeah, because he didn't pay attention, and we now have a factual thing that happened. The cop went to do something else. Do you notice how the story changes a little bit rather than like, and he should have listened to me. I knew it, blah, 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 blah. Like, gaslight, like, throw gas on my fire. I'm almost right back in the story. I might as well be experiencing it all over one more time, right? Rather than just being like, you know what? This was crappy. And this was why it was crappy, because, you know, maybe you wish you hadn't have witnessed it, but you understand the reason why you feel upset is because of, like, because I keep thinking about it. And then when you think about it, you have to keep going through the story and thinking about the little ways that you're telling it to yourself that gasses you up. That makes you not want to eat so much, because now you're, like, understanding where your control is. If it's just the event all the time, of course you're going to want to eat, because your brain logically knows it can't change this. This is now a fact. It can only change how you start talking about it. You don't have to say, like, this was the best thing that ever happened, but we don't also have to have, like, all these other things going on. Like, you can just be like, you know what? That was crappy. And I'm dealing with it. And I'm going to keep re-looking at, when I start getting upset about this, why am I so upset? It's the same thing, like, intense emotions, like intense love. It's like, I don't feel intense love because Chris is so amazing. I don't, like, thank God I married Chris. The only reason why I feel all this love and passion is because of him. It's like, no, it's because I sit around and think lovey-dovey things about him.
So what do you think would be a really good strategy to interrupt between the event and the eating?
So what I would do is note, like, I think you've done an amazing job of tracking this stuff. I think that is the best gift you've ever given yourself. So we now have this collection of overeats that are presenting certain emotions. So you'll do like I've done in the past. What I do is I know, like, which emotions that I, like, get really upset about, and I know them in my body, like when I start feeling them. And I have like, it's kind of like the protocols. Like when I'm super angry, like I don't talk to Chris. I'm a yeller. I am someone who goes at someone and is like, well, if I'm going to feel like shit, we're all going to feel like shit. Like I'm like, I am not the people pleaser. I am the blower upper. Like, here's our bomb. Let's let it go. So like I have, like for you, I want you to have like, this is a feeling that I've identified. I know when I'm angry and stuff, and I have to immediately tell myself, we don't eat over this. In the past, I've noticed myself eating over it. I can have whatever I want when I'm no longer angry. If I still want it when I'm no longer angry, I can have like the Oreos, I can have the hamburger, whatever it is, but not while I'm angry. And then you work on, why am I angry? And if you don't want to work on why you're angry, one of the best things to do is just to tell yourself, I know I'm pissed as fuck right now because I am thinking a bunch of shit about what just happened. I tell myself, like, that is literally the thought that I use all the time that gets me out of being enraged about something that's happened and takes me into total authority over, I don't like this. I know this is my thinking, and that's why I'm so freaking pissed off right now. And that makes me take a breather. Like, we're just going to be mad, but we're not going to yell at anyone right now. And I sit and be mad. But I'm not eating it, I'm not yelling, you know?
Authority. That's
it is. Key. It really is, because it's so often, like, even in our last call, you know, our girl is like, this happened, they said this, and you've hurt my feelings. Like, I'm hurt now. Like, all of this is because of how you showed up. And you're like, all of this intense emotion is about these things that have happened. We forget the best way to have control over our life is to be like, whatever you want to feel is fine. Just own that it's like, and it's because I know it's something I'm thinking. I might not even know what bullshit I'm thinking right now, but I know it is something running loose in this head right now. That gives you enough of that conscious awareness and pause to be able to decide what this action line is going to look like, rather than it being a reactive eat. Like, this is too much to handle. Because if this is causing it, this will always feel like too much. Does that make sense?
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you some thought downloads. Now, I'm just going to say, this is not the coach in me. This is just the human in me. Especially someone who's had a couple of, you know, very rager. I mean, I've been robbed at knife point. I was almost raped one time. You would think I was just running the streets when I was a teenager. I really wasn't. I just happened to be in some unfortunate situations. And then, you know, attempted suicide. Those are some things that can leave like very impressionable thought patterns for you if you're not on to yourself. If you're not like, you know what? I've had a couple of things the last few weeks that I'm already starting to think the things are causing my feelings. This is a really good gift for me. I write about it every day. It may be even a little painful. I'd rather see you writing about it every day and just understanding your thinking around it so that you can kind of give yourself a little bit of just like breathing space. Be like, I don't have to solve it. I don't have to feel better about it. I don't have to do any of that. But I at least want to understand why I'm feeling all the things that I'm feeling. That way you're not running away from it to food. You're like just being with it because it's there. Like, running away is exhausting.
Yeah.
Because you never actually can run away from it. It's like you're just running in circles all the time around it. And I'd rather you just kind of like just sit there and just be like, yeah, this is some shit. It's time for me to write about it and like just know how I'm thinking about it. That's a gift you give yourself to process it.
And I think what I've done in the past is I do write about it. I do TDL about it. After I've already eaten, when I'm doing my recovery worksheet, the next morning, when I'm journaling, not in between.
Yeah,
I don't give myself that pause.
Yeah, and I will say, I think one of the hardest things for us to do is in the moment of feeling intense emotion, coupled with wanting to eat so bad, it's the hardest thing ever to want to, like, well, let me write about this. I will say it's the best gift any of us can give ourselves. But even if in that moment you don't want to write, just say, like, can I just sit for 5 minutes and just think about would I be willing to do it? Even just like sitting and saying, like, you know, at the end of this 5 minutes, if I'm still wanting to eat and I know it's my thoughts and all the things, that's fine. But I've got to start somewhere with just giving myself a little bit of a pause. Because after about 5 minutes, some of that initial, whatever your thoughts were that ginned you up and gaslighted you, some of that chemical stuff will burn itself out. And sometimes you'll feel like you want to write at that point. You'll start feeling the need or desire to. And sometimes you won't, but you'll at least have let yourself have the opportunity to let some of it pass to make a better, clear-headed decision about, you know, do I really just want to cry right now or do I really want to eat? Because sometimes when I'm so angry, what I really want to do is cry because I'm really pissed about something because I'm so afraid on the inside of what, like, that not happening the way I thought it should, what that's really going to mean. And so, like, I don't want to feel the fear. And sometimes I just need a good cry.
You pinpointed it. Exactly.
Yeah.
Perfect strategy. Perfect.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, it's hard to have a gun pulled on you. Like, it took me, like, I was just 16. I wish I'd had these emotional tools. I know I could handle it way, like the aftermath way better, but you know, in that moment when, like, you always remember when your life was on the line, when you really thought you might die, you know, so give yourself some space and compassion around this. Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you for trying multiple times to get me back on. I don't know what happened. It just kept disconnecting, but thank you. I appreciate you.
You're welcome. I'm glad we got back on. Bye.
Well, you have a very Merry Christmas, and I'll give Jane a hug for you.
Okay. Well, thank you. Can. We're Marco Polo whenever. She's sick as a dog right now, too. Ooh. Give her a
That's
hug.
Why I didn't see her yesterday.
She gets back from Taos. Give her a hug. She should be cleansed by then. Bye.
I will. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys, I'm going to end this call and then find where my mentors are. I'm coaching mentors now. You guys have a great one. Have an amazing Christmas, a Hanukkah, whatever you celebrate. And if you don't celebrate anything and you just like to kick it because you don't celebrate anything and this is your week to relax or whatever, have fun with that too, because we all deserve a break at times. And this is a good time of year to take a little break. Bye, y'all.